Our subject for this afternoon is about worship in heaven. I've noted in some of our recent studies about heaven how often people sometimes have a misunderstanding about heaven as being an unending, boring worship service. Ted Donnelly, in his book on heaven, describes an early conception of that, of sitting on a pew as a little boy and the service never coming to an end, and wondering if heaven was going to be like that and how that could really be a bummer, to put it mildly. Or you might take seriously some of the passages about coming into the presence of a holy God and being struck by the presence of God. And will eternity being lying flat on your face in front of God in worship to Him? Well, the question as it's raised like that betrays, I would say, a certain attitude about worship and about the rest of life. It's an attitude that worship in and of itself is boring, and I hope to address that to a certain degree in this study today and next week, and to address it by looking at worship in heaven. But let me first point out that in the Bible that God has shown, a fuller picture of what heavenly activity includes. I'm going to invite you to think through some of the descriptions of heaven to call out and say, what are some of the other activities that are described in heaven that are not worship, or that you wouldn't associate with the corporate worship of God? Anna?
Mhm. There's that whole thing about the little kid reaching his hand in the snake's hole and not getting bit.
Mm-hmm.
That does not suggest worship to me.
I could have sworn in a sermon or something when she mentioned ultimate frisbee.
Very good. Wedding feast. Other things?
Prepared mansions or rooms.
Yeah, good.
Inheriting the earth sounds like exploration to me.
Inheriting the earth. Rachel, did you say trees? Yeah, there's a description of a physical universe. There's a description of a city and people going in and out of that city, the New Jerusalem. Walking, talking, traveling, feasting, eating, drinking, reigning with Christ. So lots of activities that you might associate with a full life. So these other things that we've just mentioned are not things that we would associate with as being part of the act of worship with a capital W. Okay, I'm going to say why I said that. So when we think of life, there are times where you may have heard the phrase that all of life is worship. And there's some truth to that. And I'm going to use a little W there on worship. That all of life could be considered worshipful, or oriented towards God or to Christ. And it's right for you to think of every area in your life revolving around your relationship to Christ. That's part of my sermon this morning, by the way, is that when you are trusting in Christ, it shapes your view of possessions and money, so that it prompts a certain area of charity. So it's right to think of all of life being worshipful. And there's a a man named Cornelius Venema who says it this way: no legitimate activity of life, whether in marriage, family, business, play, friendship, education, politics, ultimate frisbee, that escapes the claims of Christian kingship. Certainly those who live and reign with Christ forever will find the diversity and complexity of their worship of God not less, but richer in the life to come. Every legitimate activity of new creaturely life will be included within the life of worship of God's people. And Alcorn quotes that in his book, and it's right for us to think of our lives being worshipful. I would note a place of caution just in that attitude, and if you have Alcorn and are reading him, this would be one thing that I would reshape just a little bit, and I hope to in the rest of the study. The idea or the statement that all of life is worship tends to cheapen worship with a big W, with a capital W. If all of life is worship, then nothing is worship, could be the argument. Maybe you've seen the movie The Incredibles. So, do you remember what the bad guy says about giving superpowers to everybody?
Everyone's super, then no one is.
Right. If everyone is super, then no one's super.
That's terrible. It doesn't sound
like that. That was pretty well done. You have to laugh evilly after you say it, I think. Well, if all of life is worship, then nothing is worship, could be argued. And there is something very special about the called corporate worship of God that we do distinguish from the rest of life. And it's right for us to do that. In fact, I've heard people argue from the position that all of life is worship. They've argued that they don't need to go to worship Big W or gathering together on the Lord's Day. I had one man tell me that his worship was to go out into a park and to commune with God in the park. Now, it's all fine and good to go and commune with God in a park, but to ignore and to not participate in the public worship of God is it's wrong. There is something special about the worship of God, and there is worship of God in heaven, and that's a good place for me to pause and say I'll take that subject up next week. I'll take up the subject of the worship of God that takes place in heaven. Again, just to close today, there are lots of activities that it appears the Scripture describes us participating in heaven, and they will all be oriented towards our relationship to Christ and to God. So they will be worshipful in that sense. But there is still an aspect of a public praise and honoring of God that will take place in heaven. It's a good subject for us to take up next week. Left just a few minutes for us to share prayer requests together.